Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. We're talking about business and politics today as the general election nears. First, let's tackle business. This has been a year where real estate has slowed down here in South Florida. Tourism has been at record levels, at least before the Zika outbreak. Business from Brazil, Russia, and other foreign sources has dropped off. But South Florida has seen more interest coming from New Yorkers, Bostonians, and other places closer to home. So, how's business?
Business is good, pretty steady.
Sales and service numbers are up.
It's actually really good.
We're having a great year.
That's how five small and medium-sized business owners and managers describe their South Florida business so far this year. They represent Hispanic-owned businesses, family businesses, a woman-owned business, and a commercial bank concentrated here in South Florida. From boating to banking, restaurants to media, their assessment of their businesses as the election nears ranges from steady to great, as you heard. Now, it's natural for business people to be optimistic. It's part of the requirement to take risks like creating jobs and hiring people and investing in new products and services. So now how about politics? Well, as you can imagine, it's more complex. Opinion poll after opinion poll of voters identifies the economy as the top concern. The Gallup poll has found the economy was mentioned by voters as their number one issue in six of the past 7 months. The only exception was back in July, when race relations and a general dissatisfaction with government topped the worries. So this economic anxiety comes at a time of job creation, paychecks have been growing, and the housing market has stabilized. Oil prices and interest rates are low, yet there is plenty of uneasiness still in the economy. Just look at the affordability challenges here in South Florida, the wage gap here, or even worries about immigration and foreign trade. So how does this economic apprehension and political uncertainty impact the lifeblood of South Florida's economy, small and medium-sized businesses? We gathered together three company owners and leaders to hear their stories.
Abe Ng, President and CEO of Sushi Maki.
Christina Hebert, COO, Wards Marine Electric.
Jay Pelham, President of Total Bank.
Their businesses represent some of the traditional strongholds of South Florida's economy, hospitality, the marine industry, and underpinning it all, finance.
Abe, from your perspective, what are the economic stakes that you see as a small business owner, as a growing business owner here in South Florida for this election cycle?
I think every election cycle is important, but particularly one when, you know, the top job is on the ballot. So, you know, as a business, you know, we don't shape our policies by it, but certainly people do take a wait and see approach, and I was traveling overseas this past summer and just talking to a cab driver, you know, they asked, so what do you think about the presidential election? And it's quite obvious that the eyes of the world are on this country and who we elect next.
Christy, you work with a lot of international clients as well. What do you see as the economic stakes for this election cycle?
For us, from a business perspective, our concerns will be from a regulatory environment and from the healthcare, a lot of the small businesses and workers' compensation. The boats that come here, that travel here, are here to have service and work done, again, provided by small businesses. And if you impede those businesses to be able to do what they need to do through overregulation, through duplicative, unnecessary workers' compensation, through even EPA standards, international garbage, all sorts of things that are really unintended consequences for boats, but become hindrances. Boats are mobile. Our clients can make a decision at any point to go someplace else, and then we're instantly competing internationally for that labor. It's cost of business. We're now exporting our labor all over the world instead of them coming here. When those boats come here, it's on average 10% of the value of the boat is spent just on maintenance. During the boat show that's coming up, we've seen wine bills just at $65,000 just from one order, one boat, just to make sure they have the right provisions. It's all of that secondary and third direct impact on the economy.
I have to ask the question for Abe, any sushi orders of that size?
Always, always.
Is that true, Abe? Do you see those come across, those invoices?
The busiest time of year are when we have these great shows in town.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, how about your perspective as a banker steeped in this industry, in this community? Where do you see, Jay, as the economic stakes this cycle?
So, I guess there's a lot of different perspectives there. One is that just getting the election over stabilizes things, regardless of who wins.
Having a winner.
Yeah. And I guess, listen, you can find all types of statistics, but I think The general consensus is that the last year of a two-term presidential term is the worst stock market year of that presidency. And it's because there's all this anxiety over what's going to be there next. And then I think the best year of every presidency is the first year, because I guess you're kind of regaining what you lost in the last year of the first guy. You know, we're in a very different market here in Miami. We'll definitely be impacted in some way, and like the marine industry, the banking, you know, regulatory is a big component with our business, and that can change. But you know, I look at Miami specifically has been a very attractive destination for flight capital for decades now, and that's been regardless of election cycles and who's in office. And it's not just the flight capital that you tend to think of because of us being the gateway to Latin America. It's the flight capital from New York, from New Jersey. I don't think from a real estate market standpoint that you can compare Miami to Orlando, Tampa, or Jacksonville. I think you have to compare it to New York, L.A., Paris, and London.
Yeah, the Miami real estate has had a heck of a run this cycle, no doubt about it. The unemployment rate in Broward County is among the lowest in Florida and the lowest in the nation, below 5%. The economists will tell you that's full employment. You're experiencing that, Christina, in the yachting industry. And of course, the record tourism feeds right in to some degree to the sushi maki business. But what I'm not hearing is the economic anxiety that we'll hear that's get picked up in the public opinion polls from voters from elsewhere. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
So, you know, if you step back and, you know, you look at what's going on in Western Europe with Brexit, you know, I think people do feel left behind with globalization. So, and if you talk to you know, team members that are working at the line level or maybe, you know, slightly above that, you know, there really is a sense of, you know, what else is there? So, you know, I think, you know, I believe strongly in the power of business to lift humanity, and it's up to individual businesses to really give that kind of career path to people who are working those jobs. So I do hear anxiety in terms of, you know, what's going to be out a few years from now, you know, whether they're cab drivers with Uber, or people that are delivering food now with other kind of third party delivery. So there's that anxiety. But in terms of if finding a job, at least in the hospitality industry, you know, there's so many hotel rooms and so many restaurants that are opening. It's definitely, you see a lot of kind of shuffling around with employees because they can always find a job.
Christy, do you see that? Do you hear that? You know, your optimism, notwithstanding the economic anxiety that we hear from voters, not only just outside of South Florida, but other voters, you know, working class within South Florida in terms of affordability issues and transportation issues. Do you feel that? Do you see that at all in the business?
I think there's always a level of that there in business. I think there's always a concern, where will the economy go? If any small business owner hires somebody, you always ask yourself, am I always going to be able to have work for this person? As a third generation owner, 65 years, we've never laid off anybody, and you want to make sure, oh my gosh, am I hiring too many people? For us to get over that 51 has meant so many different challenges. We've had to become ACA compliant and so on and so forth.
The Affordable Care Act.
So I think there's always an element.
There's a ton of labor regulations that come when
Absolutely.
You are bigger than 50 full-time employees.
But I think it's one of those plan to fail or fail to plan. And I think if you have that, one of my other statements when a lot of people come to me and say, what do you think about the election? I always say there's 535 members of Congress. Focus on that.
Jay, I want to ask you a similar question. The economic anxiety that we're hearing in the United States and we hear in some corners here in South Florida is happening at a time where the political rhetoric is at a volume and a tenor that I think certainly I've never experienced in my lifetime. I don't think any of us have necessarily experienced. Do you see one influencing the other? In other words, is the rhetoric influencing some economic decisions that are being made or delayed perhaps on the part of the bank's customers? And conversely, is the economic anxiety out there just feeding into the volume of the rhetoric?
Yeah, we've got some anxiety. We don't talk about it a lot. because we're taking the right steps there. I think also people have seen in a broader context a lot of predictions that were wrong.
Namely Donald Trump's chances at winning the Republican presidential
that
nomination.
That could be part of it. But, yeah. I mean, even go back when Obama was elected, everyone thought, based upon some of his actions and his views, that with Obamacare that it would destroy the healthcare industry economically. And that's totally not been the case. People thought that the firearms industry would go out of business, and their stocks are at record highs. And so I think you've got to be careful about trying to have a crystal ball there. And I guess people, and I guess it's very polarized maybe this year more than others. They get back a high level of confidence, I think, when their side wins, whatever side that is. So if it's my person that's in there, whoever that person is, I feel more confident immediately.
So playing off of that, 2017, presumably we will have a president-elect come the first Wednesday after the first Monday in November, Florida notwithstanding. Hopefully we'll have a clear winner. But it may be a winner 51-49% of a popular vote. It may not be a decisive victory that we saw, for instance, back in 1980 when President Reagan won with a landslide by carrying a majority of states. I mean, Abe, if the political rhetoric we're seeing now and the polling data bears out on the popular vote, forget about the electoral vote for a moment, and it really is this kind of split country and split region in South Florida in a swing state, does this impact how you think and how you plan for Tsushimaki in 2017?
You know, I don't think it affects our business planning, but I just think from just the frustration that can come when our leaders can't be competent, and they're just kind of fighting each other. And one of the things that many of my friends and I often wonder is who would want some of these jobs to be in office? Because it is such a toxic environment where you can't even work on policy. You're managing all these other things, that are, you've got people working against you from day one. So, we always hope for that leader that can come and can really rise above that and to forge ahead with a strong vision. And, I think that's really the hope of all Americans.
Christy, how about you? Does this political cycle that we're in and the rhetoric and the volume impact how potentially Ward's is looking at 2017?
It wouldn't change our plans, but it would affect perhaps some of the strategies. We talk about one election, which again, people talk about the president, but I would say who comes out ahead in the House and in the Senate. When you have a House and Senate that are from a different party of the president, a lot of people will say, that's great, there's balance, but also things didn't get done. And when things don't get done, we do some government contract work. I have a provision that's in the NDAA that I've been working on, which is
is
the National Defense Authorization Act. And there's just a maritime provision in there that doesn't do anything other than define what a recreational vessel is so that there aren't unintended consequences where recreational boats are being considered cargo ships or being considered, other areas. It's just something that had never been clearly defined. But that can make a big difference in moving forward for the industry.
And there's politics involved there. Is that what you're
there
saying?
There are a lot of politics involved
on what
in legislation
a recreational
that
boat
you
is.
Want to see successfully passed. And what I would say is I would be more concerned with how Congress turns out and how much legislation will actually get done. And of the legislators that you've worked with and built relationships with, are they still there or are they gone? Because that's really how you affect change in your industry, in your state, and at your local level.
Christy Herbert of Ward's Marine Electric is thinking beyond the top of the ticket this election. So tell us what your economic election issue is. Taxes, your job, cost of living? What issue will decide who you vote for this fall? On Twitter, at WLRN, use the hashtag SunshineEconomy. Still to come, what those in business think of the debate over business and the economy.
It's very simple. I think most of the discussions that I hear are political rhetoric.
So long as it's kind of sound bites and cartoonish dialogue, they can kind of blow with the wind.
We look for candidates that, you know, embrace business as part of the solution.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. It's business and politics today ahead of the first presidential debate tonight between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. NBC News is the host, and the themes should be decidedly economic. Among the broad topics announced, America's direction and achieving prosperity. Now, the economy is regularly mentioned as the most important issue facing America today. Next week on the Sunshine Economy, we will hear from voters about how they're thinking about this election and the economic stakes. We'll talk with a father in his late 30s, a retiree in her second career in the theater, and a Cuban immigrant who arrived in Miami in the early 1960s. But this week, we're talking with business owners and leaders about politics and their companies. Jay Pelham is the president of Total Bank. Abe Ng founded and owns Sushi Maki. And we will pick up the conversation with Christy Hebert, Chief Operating Officer at Ward's Marine Electric, as we talk about managing through this election and its economic debates.
Family business, the number one rule is nobody stands on eggshells. Nobody stands on ceremony. So you always have to be open and upfront, because otherwise there could just be this huge, you know, pool of resentment. So everybody always has to be open and honest. But I will say that, you know, politic views when you're out of college to where I am now, you know, they can tend to change. And also economics, you know, when I was in high school, my family, our business, we had, you know, less than 20 people. I was the 21st employee and now we have 57. That's a very different business. So the effects and regulatory issues were not an issue for a 20-person company that had been around for 30 years. Our big thing was saving enough money to be able to build a new building that now we continue to call our new building, but we're outgrown it. So we'll be looking to buy a new building. But so I think even though the politics, how it affected had more to do with the size of the company. And I think you see that a lot in our industry, for example, 95% are small businesses. Of that are 10 and fewer employees. You know, they're really looking at, can I afford healthcare? Can I afford workers' compensation? Am I going to be able to do the work on these recreational boats? Am I going to be able to pay all my employees? They don't really care who gets an office. It's just make my life easy and not get in the way for me to run my business.
Jay, when your bankers at Total Bank go out and talk to the clients or looking for new business for business loans, I imagine those are a lot of those questions that small business owners ask in every kind of economic condition and every kind of political condition. But is there a tinge? Is there a difference in this cycle because of the outsider status of Donald Trump, the establishment status of Hillary Clinton, but also because of the state of Congress that Christy points out to?
So listen, when we decide how we're making loans, we write out a set of loan policies. And again, we've got people here in this market that know this market. It's not some guy in North Carolina or Atlanta writing our policies. But then we got to use common sense too. And listen, we're a heavily regulated multi-billion dollar bank. We got a plan for everything. I think the presidential election is just like one of 257 things that might impact anyone's business. You know, we look at where interest rates are going. We look at where the commercial real estate market's going. We look at tourism figures. There'll be some people happy and some people unhappy, and that may affect their behaviors. Unhappy people might not be as willing to invest money and do things, but I think that it's just, you know, one of a multitude of factors that impacts a lending decision and impacts someone running a business and their decisions.
Yeah, so my business is a family business as well. My dad is an immigrant to this country with $80 in his pocket. And, you know, he's had some amazing runs in his business. And he's always kind of attributed, the leadership in this country, the president, you know, the great, you know, Reagan years. So the tenor that existed in that country was amazing for him in his run. And at the very least, in this cycle, we've got some cartoon characters that we're evaluating for presidential candidates. And my 12-year-old son does a great, you know, Trump impersonation. So, you know, so I do kind of look at this as, you know, a way to kind of, we learn through our children. And certainly in my case, I learned from my father and I learned from my son.
To that idea of the rhetoric here, as business people, as folks that are kind of steeped in the P&Ls of the companies and business strategy and looking at the competition and foreign customers and domestic customers. Christy, I'm just curious as to, as you hear the economic debates that happen and policy statements that come out regarding tax or healthcare or Department of Labor regulations or what have you, as someone who is on the front lines of that, how do you judge the general tenor and quality of the economic discourse you're hearing, not just from the top of the ticket, but even down through the ticket? So the general discourse that you're hearing about the economy.
I mean, for me, I think it's best to follow the KISS rule, keep it simple, stupid. And anybody that can talk about economics, either if you know what a P&L statement is and you know the amount of revenue that you need in order to offset all of your expenses and also keep your business plan moving and grow your business and communicate your messaging and stay. It's very simple. I think most of the discussions that I hear are political rhetoric. I would hope that in our country, you know, given that we're able to have these businesses and grow our businesses, I'd like to still remain in control of that. And I don't believe that whoever is going to get elected is going to change that. We have to make our own future. We have to make our own decisions. As Jay said, you know, we have to plan for everything. So most of what I hear is irrelevant. I know that sounds terrible. So to me, it's just, you know, commercials, they're sound notes, they're sound bites, they're emotional, they're trying to get people. But at the end of the day, they're almost irrelevant of what small businesses really go through. And so I really don't pay that much attention to it. And even our employees, when people start to, are you afraid of this or not? No, this is what we have going on. These are our, look at our workloads, look what's going on. Here's where our goals are. We constantly share our visions and where we're going and the progress that we make. So I really try to tune it out, to be honest.
Jay's tuning it out. good advice, or perhaps maybe a little dangerous in the environment we're in.
Listen, I think that I think these candidates sometimes are afraid to take a position on something because then they've taken a position on something, and so long as it's kind of sound bites and cartoonish dialogue, they can kind of blow with the wind. From my standpoint, the one issue that kind of piques my interest more than the others is the things around immigration. And that's because I focus on Miami as my market and where I find it interesting to know what's going on in the rest of the country. My life is here. And there's just so much of an economic engine we've built here based upon the inflow of capital from all over the world. Everything from, you know, just people that want to buy real estate to these EB-5 programs where people can, you know, get visa status for investing a certain amount, and then there have been, I guess, developers that have built that into, let's build an entire building with these funds. So I watch closely because that could be an issue that could impact us probably more than tax rates could, probably more than, you know, certain types of regulation could. That could have a bigger impact. And I hope common sense will prevail, so we'll see.
Yeah, you know, we look for candidates that, you know, embrace business as part of the solution, as opposed to, you know, the villains that are, you know, moving jobs offshore or evading taxes. I think, you know, both candidates or all the candidates are have enough kind of common sense to really embrace kind of the entrepreneurial spirit of this country. But anytime, you hear a candidate that, you know, really wants to, you know, increase, you know, taxes to kind of, bloat government to create jobs, I think that's dangerous, you know, and a candidate that really understands that, businesses probably are the most nimble and are best positioned to kind of create meaningful job opportunities for Americans.
That's Abe Ng, founder and CEO at Tsushimaki, along with Jay Pelham, president of Total Bank, and Christy Hebert, chief operating officer of Ward's Marine Electric. Still to come as the Sunshine Economy continues, how two Hispanic business owners are navigating business and politics this campaign season.
Our work ethic and the character and integrity of of the community can outshine whether Trump or Clinton is president.
The thing about the Hispanic market, though, is that it is truly underserved.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. Roberto Estrada is building a new call center for his company, Hola Doctor. That's a healthcare marketing firm focused on the Hispanic market. Estrada describes his company this way.
Okay, to make it really simple, we're the Spanish language WebMD.
It has grown into South Florida and New Jersey, growing along with the Hispanic market and healthcare. But Estrada says he's building a smaller call center than anticipated because of the uncertainty around the future of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. In the meantime, Manny Ruiz says he purposely avoids politics for his business, Hispanicize. He describes it like this.
The largest and most influential event of U.S. Hispanic influencers in media, social media, and entertainment.
Manny and Roberto are Hispanic business owners at a time immigrants, especially Hispanic immigrants, and their role in the economy is under political scrutiny. First, we spoke about business with Roberto Estrada of Hola Doctor and Manny Ruiz of Hispanicize Media Group.
U.S. Hispanic business is good. You know, we are a niche play. You know, if you're doing the right moves, you tend to do well in a market that is continuing to grow. And so long as the population will continue to grow among U.S. in the U.S., fed by the U.S. Hispanics, I think we have a bright future ahead of us.
Plenty of Hispanic businesses have failed in that 10 years. It's not just a growing population, Manny. What is it that has fed that growth at Hispanicize, and what is it that's going to continue to fuel the growth in your estimation?
Well, you know, frankly, Tom, throughout the past 8 years, we have seen a lot of consolidation in the U.S. Hispanic space with regards to media and events like ours. We are one of the few that are standing, and we're standing not just because we're surviving, we're standing because we're thriving and have helped consolidate what used to be on the event side of us. There used to be many conferences. A lot of people have realized that it just makes sense to do one mega event.
Robert, how about for you? How's business for Hola Doctor?
It's actually really good, and we're extremely excited about 2017. I mean, the one thing that we feel that we know how to do better than anyone on the planet is engaging Hispanic consumers around health. So we are the largest publisher of health content in Spanish digital. And we've been able to build the largest web destination online, the largest database. So we work a lot with the health insurance companies and hospitals, helping them communicate and engage their members in the case of health insurance and the patients in the case of hospitals. So that it's just a very fast-growing market. And regardless of what's going to happen with Obamacare, I mean, there's a millions of Hispanics that have joined the healthcare market, and therefore the need to communicate and service properly this population is growing.
A lot of optimism voiced on the part of both of you when it comes to your business prospects in 2017. In what's going to be a new administration in the White House, potentially a change of a party control in one House of Congress. And we will have survived, hopefully, this 2016 election cycle. Your optimism comes at a time when a lot of voters have been expressing a lot of economic anxiety. And we see that when pollsters ask what is the big issue for you, the voter, in this 2016 election season. Oftentimes it has to relate somehow to finances. So, Manny, why the optimism when we're seeing on public opinion polls the economy is the biggest concern and a lot of economic anxiety being expressed on the part of voters?
Latinos have always been very hardworking community. And when you have a community that's used to muscling through whatever the adversity is, even though the rest of the country is preoccupied with many sometimes weird issues, you know, the obsession that we are seeing with immigration, and as if that's the only thing that defines what Latinos care about, is amazing to me. But that shows it's really, you know, yes, we are concerned about immigration. A lot of us sometimes have family or friends that are caught in that net right now of not knowing if they're going to be able to stay or go. But the reality is that Latinos are looking to move forward, and they're not obsessed with what they don't have. They're focused on what they can get by their hard work. I think our work ethic and our and the character and integrity of the community can outshine whether Trump or Clinton is president. What I think is very concerning to our community, frankly, right now, is the way that our culture is being demonized in a very bizarre way that is also possibly exposing the fact that our community needs to be better united, because we do have a lot of nationalities, and we're defined by more than our culture. I think that probably the biggest concern that we have, at least is at the leadership level, is that our community find a way of unifying, such as just like the African Americans have done, and they've rallied very successfully. Whether you agree with their positions or not, the African American community knows how to unify when they're under attack. Latino community needs to do that. And I think that's really top of mind right now among leaders in the Latino community, more so than the economic concerns.
Robert, I'd like you to respond to that observation by Manny. In South Florida, the Hispanic community is certainly varied, and we understand that. It is not one monolithic culture and monolithic community. Do you feel that perhaps it is getting treated as such on the part especially of the national presidential campaigns?
Probably. I believe that this is a lot of just campaign slogans and trying to get in the press and that's really going to fade away. I mean, I don't think that there's any issues that are going to come out of this. I think if we fast forward to March or June of next year, it's all really going to be history. But the thing about the Hispanic market though is that it is truly underserved. That's why we're excited about it. Because once a market is mature, then obviously it depends a lot more on the economic climate. But this market, there's so many opportunities that even if things are not going great with the economy, there's still good opportunities with corporate America. I mean, we happen to be in healthcare to help these people monetize and that market. Now a lot more than 10 years ago, businesses understand that there's a lot of money in the Hispanic community. I mean, it's over $1 trillion purchasing power. And it's one of, I mean, if you want to grow in the U.S. at double digits, you either have to go after the Hispanic market or the senior market.
Aging baby boomers, and certainly the Hispanic market is part of that. But Robert, I want you to pick up on that. The opportunities that you have built your career on, serving what you still contend to be an underserved market, are those economic opportunities getting passed over because of what Manny said, an obsession on immigration as it relates almost exclusively and solely to a Hispanic voter in this election cycle?
No, I don't think so, because this is temporary, I think. I think that these, businesses, American businesses are very smart and they plan for the long term. So this is even Trump has been, monetizing with the Hispanic market with cheap labor and other opportunities. So I don't think so. I think it's more priorities. Businesses are smart, and they were busy with other markets, and now they're looking at, they've been looking for the last 10 years, I think, at the Hispanic market very seriously.
Manny, I see you nodding your head over there.
No, I agree with a lot of the things Robert is saying. I think what I would add is that, you're talking about numbers, right? If you're talking about numbers, where the population is growing and what communities like, for example, Florida, as a state, California, New York, Texas, if you are not in the Hispanic market part of it, and that doesn't mean Spanish language alone, by the way. Let's be very clear. When you're talking about reaching Latinos, you are talking about reaching them culturally, in culture, in language, not just by language. But if you're talking about growing in any of the, if you look at these states, these are the fastest growing states among them, or the states that have the biggest numbers. If you are not doing U.S. Hispanic outreach of any kind in any language, you're not in the game, or you're going to lose your market share, or you're going to end up being second or third and then eventually not relevant. And it's really interesting that, some really good hardcore people that don't vote Democrat are concerned about some of Trump's statements, because it would impact cheap labor. It would impact other things that sometimes our community, frankly, are the only ones willing to work and to do certain things. So I think that I agree with you. I think the after the election, there's going to be a reckoning one way or the other. And I think there's going to be some strong overtures that have probably never happened before from both Democrat and Republican side. The Democrats are not scotch-free on this. Let's not forget that Obama deported more Latinos than any president before him. He is the deporter-in-chief, according to the National Council of Raza. So both parties have a lot of mending with the Latinos. And I think that the recognition that the Latino economic power and political power is growing, there's going to be more interest in the Hispanic market post-election.
Roberto Estrada with Hola Doctor and Manny Ruiz with Hispanicize. So tell us what your election issue is. Is it economic? Is it immigration? Taxes? Maybe national security? What issue will decide who you vote for this fall? On Twitter, at WLRN, use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Still to come, the business implications that could come from the Hispanic voter turnout this election.
I think that the numbers continue to help corporations become, you know, cognizant of the Latino community, probably more so than any other economic figure that you can bring up.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy, Business and Politics. I'm Tom Hudson. With Florida such a tight race for president, voter turnout will be important, no doubt about it. In the last presidential race, almost one out of five Florida voters were Hispanic. That was up from one out of eight during the 2008 race. And this year, almost 22% of all registered voters in Florida through August are Hispanic voters. Roberto Estrada and Manny Ruiz are building their companies based on a growing Hispanic market. They think the Hispanic voter turnout this election will be speaking beyond politics, though, and speaking to American business. Estrada runs Hola Doctor. Ruiz is CEO of Hispanicize Media Group.
You know, when you have the numbers of folks, Latinos, that will be voting this year, I think there's going to be a very strong vote of voter turnout this year by Latinos. I think that the numbers continue to help corporations become, you know, cognizant of the Latino community, probably more so than any other economic figure that you can bring up.
So regardless, big corporations and even medium corporations are well aware of the spending power, the growing spending power in the Hispanic household. But what you're saying is the Hispanic voter turnout on election day has economic ramifications in terms of corporate America or businesses recognizing that kind of power.
Absolutely. And listen, when you talk about healthcare, when you talk about consumer products, automotive, you know, consumer packaged goods like Procter & Gamble products, all of these brands know, anybody that's involved in a brand that is of daily use, insurance, you notice that these are the top advertisers. They're usually the ones that are the pioneers of reaching out to the multicultural communities. And they're going to continue to double down on what they're spending. And that's good news for companies like mine and companies like Roberts, because the bigger the bet, the better that we have an opportunity to generate more revenue.
Robert, that dollar that's being saved or spent by Hispanic households clearly has a significant value as you look for your market to grow. But what about that Hispanic vote that Manny is referring to and that economic value for you and your company?
Yeah, I think it's definitely important in the sense of, you know, who's going to control Congress, right? Because, I mean, one thing is the presidency, the White House, which is important, and then Congress. But, you know, I'm a conservative. I mean, I consider myself a conservative, but this is the first election where I'm really concerned, and I'm not you know, just behind the Republican Party anymore.
Concerned about what, though?
Well, it's just too much uncertainty, and that's bad. That's bad for markets. It's bad for, you know, business. I mean, our clients, you know, not a lot for us right now, but some decisions get delayed.
But you're still optimistic, though.
We're still optimistic because there's so much opportunity there. But I mean, but having so much uncertainty in the markets, and I think I'm an optimist by nature. I think that a lot of it is just, you know, one-liners that, that Trump comes up with so that he wins the election. I hope so, because I really don't think that a lot of the things that he says are he's actually going to do.
You hope the source of the uncertainty is the one-liners. That's your hope.
Right.
Gotcha. Manny, what about that idea of the uncertainty? Are you feeling that?
I'm fiercely independent. You know, maybe I'm more conservative in my personal beliefs and how I act and, you know, how I think than most Latinos. But I have to echo Robert's concern that, you know, you have to be very concerned about the weirdness of the Republican Party. This is not the Reagan revolution, which I loved Reagan. He's probably the only president I've ever cared or loved for. Right. But I would say that the reason that I'm not as concerned for Hispanicize is because, ironically, I have never made Hispanicize the event about political power. It's always been about the aspirations of Latinos, discussing the challenges, and really embracing the brands and organizations that want to help Latinos move forward. So I also think, like Robert, that once you get past the political election season, You really do see the both Republicans and Democrats. They have to chill out. They realize that, okay, now we got past all the nastiness. Now we actually have to reach out to the other side, because you have to run the government.
Do you think the aspiration that your clients have, Manny, and the optimism that you have is immune to the uncertainty that Robert is articulating as we move closer to election and then what may happen in 2017?
I think that they are so underspending in the space already.
The Hispanic market.
Yeah. They're in single digits in many things where they should be in double digits, that I don't see where they can cut and still operate their business responsibly, even if they weren't into the Hispanic market. So I don't think that they're going to be able to cut, even if they were pessimistic, just because historically there's so much ground to gain. And by the way, they don't want to give that opportunity to somebody else who sees the opportunity for growth. One interesting thing that I've always told people is, like, listen, the Hispanic market represents a population that's bigger than Canada. And the Hispanic market represents, it's basically the largest opportunity outside of possibly China and India in the world for U.S. market brands. So when you think about it, you have a domestic major opportunity here. Why would you cut back where this is where you're growing? So I just don't see how they can grow and still have a company.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's really echoes what I was saying about the market being underserved. I mean, there's so much opportunity. It really almost doesn't matter, any negative comments and uncertainty about it. But it's just not good. It's not good for the country, for the economy, for your health, you know, to have all this uncertainty and all this, you know, crap going on, really not needed.
As you guys look toward your planning for 2017 and looked at your strategy, does politics influence any of that? As you sit through your board meetings and sit with your accountants and your financial advisors and your sales staff, is there if this party wins the White House, we could do that more or this less, or if this party wins, we could do that less and this more?
For us, no, but I can imagine for Robert, you're in the healthcare industry, they might try to abolish Obama. For us, no, but Robert.
Exactly. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, as you were saying, for us, yes, absolutely. But it's really the strategy about which products, which services do we get into.
For Roberto Estrada of Hola Doctor, the election outcome will help decide if he expands his business directed at Obamacare or look for other opportunities. Still to come, as the first presidential debate approaches tonight, what would these business owners and operators ask a candidate? We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. We're talking about business and politics as the election season heats up still yet. Talking about politics can be dangerous, right? Especially this election season. It's one of the topics, along with religion, that we're told to keep out of polite conversation. Yet we asked a group of local business leaders to come in and talk about politics and business. They did, sometimes even ignoring the wise, sage advice from their spouse.
This morning at the breakfast table, when I told my wife, Christina, that I was coming on, she just shook her head. She loves you, Tom, but it's a very dangerous topic to talk about.
Yet he did come in. That's Abe Ng. He owns Sushi Maki. With the economy such an important topic for voters this election, we asked the business owners and operators what they would ask a candidate if they had the chance.
How are we going to control the debt, the national debt? I mean, that to me is, you know, my biggest worry.
That's Hola Doctor CEO Roberto Estrada. Now, it may not be that surprising to hear from a business executive worried about debt, yet Estrada is concerned about where that debt may lead the United States.
I mean, I love the U.S. My parents sent me here to go to college, you know, over 30 years ago. You know, this country has given me a lot, and I love it. I mean, it truly is the country of opportunities. It's unbelievable. Everywhere you go, every empire, even the Roman Empire that was around, you know, 1,000 years or whatever, it went down. So it can definitely happen here if we don't get our debt in control. So that would be my question. How are we going to do that?
Hola Doctor CEO Roberto Estrada, looking back into the history books as he looks forward, and his biggest worry being the debt of the United States. Christy Hebert with Ward's Marine Electric has a more philosophical question for the candidates.
Why is wealth bad, I would ask? Because one of the things in our industry, the recreational industry, big boats sometimes get bad reps that, oh, there goes that rich guy. Well, I think personally, anybody that makes a certain amount of money should be forced to buy a boat, because there is absolutely, there's not an investment return on that. Every time one of these boats comes into town, it does nothing but pump money into the economy. That would be my question. When did wealth become a bad thing?
It's Christy Hebert with Ward's Marine Electric. Total Bank President Jay Pelham has a more fundamental question for the political candidates this season. And he said he'd like to ask this question beyond the cameras and no microphones present.
Why do you want to do this? I think it's a thankless job. I think you put yourself open to scrutiny and criticism beyond any person on the planet. Why do you want to do this?
It's a basic question, isn't it? We'll see if any of those questions are asked this evening during the first presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Let us know what you would want to ask a presidential candidate or any political candidate this election cycle. We're on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. We may include some of those questions next week on our program. Wanda Miles is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. We'll see you online and back here next week. Thanks again for listening.